ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, on a cloudy, rainy Tuesday afternoon where the first foot has been stomped down to the ground and someone is a scapegoat for the Texans' offensive season. George Godsey, gone. Right after we got off the air last night, the announcement made by the Blitz as the news came in. We want your reaction on that. Travis Johnson out today. Barry back in the chair on the right side of me today. But Barry on the world tour back out tomorrow.
Yeah, man. I got a gig at the River City Improv in San Antonio, so I'll be out. I'll be there. Like, my first show is tomorrow. Like, they work you like a dog out there. I got shows Wednesday through Sunday.
Jeez.
Yeah, so well, I'll
good
be
work if you can get it though.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
just don't answer the back doorbell or get the oil change. Yeah, we'll I don't know see. What they do in San Antonio.
I don't know if they're as freaky as El Paso and Fort Worth, but we're gonna find out.
They might have the whole burrito or the whole enchilada. Just hold the tacos.
It very well could be.
Woo.
You okay. So this isn't rain. You know that, right? This is just the tears of Texans fans.
Oh, is that what that is?
That have evaporated and are now dropping
tears from
back
Lord
down
above and the powers that be.
They're now dropping back down to earth. After having been shed this past weekend.
Quick Nick behind the glass as well as the band is back together. I want to get everybody their due before we get into topics because you mentioned this. Is this enough? Is everybody saying whether it's he's a scapegoat or not and he's a longtime, you know, Bill O'Brien guy, is this the only move that needed to be made and are you good with it? Are we done with it? And are we moving forward? And he just takes it in the rear end for everybody. Or are there more do you expect more things to come?
Well, you know, I said this in our pre-show video, and I don't want to hear this today, tomorrow, next week, or for the rest of the year. I don't want Texans fan calling this show and saying, well, what about Romo? Well, what about quarterback X? What about quarterback? The problem is they are stuck with Brock Osweiler. Now, could they draft a rookie and that rookie emerge? Absolutely. But as far as going out and getting a name or getting rid of Brock, unless someone's willing to take him on trade, and why the hell would they?
Yeah, I understand people wanting to trade for Romo because there's some value in it.
Yeah, or if you cut him and someone signs him, they'll pick up some of the money that would have gone against the Texans cap. But the fact of the matter is he's owed $19 million next year plus another $6 million in signing bonuses that have to be paid. You're not getting rid of Brock Osweiler. So,
well, I think the Flying Wyoming Water Buffalo of the Arena Football League have an opening.
They might pick up that 25
mil. I think that what they're going to do is the post-game pizzas would then be donated back. But I don't know if they have the money to compete with
Right now, he might be worth a pizza, to
Godsey
be honest
is
with
definitely
you.
Not the only move that they need to make. Yep. I'm kind of with Barry that Osweiler's not one of them.
It's not. Well, it's a move they need to make. They just can't.
Yeah, it's just not realistic.
Yeah, not going to happen. Yep. And now, one move that I think they need to make, and I don't know that this is on a lot of people's radar, because you think about moves that need to be made to improve the team, but how about a move that needs to be made to keep this team as good as they are and better? There's two of them. One, you need to re-sign A.J. Bouye.
Which is going to be a tall task.
It's going to be a tall task, but I would make that happen. But before I did that, I would whatever you need to do to lock in Romeo Crennel for a few more years.
We talked about it.
I would absolutely do that.
I said it over yesterday. Those are the Quentin two Demps moves. Just said it with John and Sean too, about how valuable he is. That dude and I told Trap. I mean, watching that game, the little wrinkles and the extras that he put in to put pressure on Brady in that first half, dude has been a genius with all the injuries and all the rotation. And here's another guy that's off the radar a little bit that I think has to come back, and that's John Simon. John Simon, when healthy, the way he just flies around the football field.
Yeah, he plays well.
He wreaks havoc. And there's a guy that I don't think is going to be nearly as expensive. Bouye is the guy that scares me because his value went through the charts. You had the stats on impending free agents for 2017, the second highest ranked free agent.
Crazy.
It's crazy nuts.
Yep.
He's going to command upwards of $10 million a year. And unless J.J. wants to restructure again, and Cushing and whatever they want to do with some of the big salaries, and obviously Vince, if he retires, you get some back. But man, I don't know that they're going to be able to dig deep enough in the piggy bank to figure out a way. But if they could, because you get Johnson back, and Johnson's a hell of a player, Kareem's still on the upside more than the downside. Your secondary
could be shored up even more just by getting healthy and bringing back one guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely could. And like I said, I mean, and we've mentioned this before on the show, if J-Joe's got to go, he's got to go. And I'm all right with that if they can lock up Bouye and have Bouye and Jackson and Johnson.
I'm with you, too.
Because your future is Bouye and Johnson.
Yeah.
That's your future.
In terms of your future, I'm with you that they draft, not necessarily the first or second round, but they do draft another young quarterback that they can start to groom. But that's why this position's so important. Here, it's a twofold thing. One, you got to get the right guy. And I really think we can both delve. We already have a list. We can delve into that because we want to hear what you think, too, and figure out who is the right guy because there's a lot of names that are going to be flying around. But here's the other thing. Bill O'Brien's going to have to allow – he's going to have to relinquish control and allow that guy to do what he does.
You're talking about coordinator-wise.
Correct, yeah. Correct. On a twofold basis. One, for the offense going forward, open it up and do things the way they want to do it. And secondly, if you do get a young guy, to groom that guy so that a real quarterback whisperer can try and get this guy NFL game ready. Because we've already discussed Bill O'Brien's quarterback whisperer tendencies. There are guys out there, and there's one with name and neon lights that should be at the top of their list, in my mind. And that guy, strictly for his ability to mold quarterbacks, would be an ideal fit here.
Who?
Norv Turner.
Okay.
And that is the guy that I think that should be at the top of their list and someone that they better at least interview regardless.
Here's the thing. If you're Norv Turner, do you want to come here, work under Bill O'Brien, who seems like he could be a bit of a jerk, put up with that nonsense, and you're going out there and trying to make chicken salad out of chicken bleep? Because the dude is not a good... I mean, he just got Gotze fired.
You want my answer to that?
Now, do you want to come here knowing that this dude could get you fired in a year or two?
You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
It depends on what other offers are out there. Because he didn't exactly finish the season in Minnesota, and he didn't finish it on good terms, and he was working for a guy that was a little bit of a demanding coach.
Right, so why would he do that again?
Right, but at the same time, if there are no other offers out there, and you got to put money in the cookie jar... That, you know, depends on what other jobs come his way. But
yeah, but like, but has Buffalo signed an OC yet? Have they got there? Because that might be a place you go.
I don't
know. You know what I mean?
So.
Like, I would go.
Check.
Hell, I'd go to Cleveland before I came
Hugh
to
Jackson in Cleveland.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Because he's an offensive guy.
Right, but I'm just saying, I would go to a town like Cleveland if there was an opening before I came to get fired by Brock Osweiler.
Okay, but think about this. If you take the Houston job and you somehow, some way, as impossible as it may seem.
Stop it. I won't allow you to continue this.
Are able to write the ship a little bit.
I won't allow you to finish that sentence.
If you're able to write the ship, whether it be offensively with another quarterback or try to find the golden candy bar for Willy Wonka and quarterback for the Texans,
next
and you
time.
Can make some progress,
next time
you
could
be a hero.
Next time you stretch before you reach that much.
Yes. Well,
no one is coming here and fixing Brock Osweiler. It's not happening.
All right, so who do you guys want? 713-780-ESPN. Let me know who you're thinking about for Kenny. I got one for you I'm going to bring out.
All right.
And trying to get in terms of getting the band back together. I don't think he's going to Subway anytime soon, but I think he's a guy that I think Bill O'Brien might at least have an exploratory phone call with, but it might surprise some people. But think about it. If we're bringing the band back together, you need some bass. Anyway, we'll talk about that and a whole lot more. We want to hear from you because you're always an integral part of the show. 713-780-ESPN gets you in via text or call, or you can hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at No Hit Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4, and we do it all for you, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 as we talk about the topic that is most pressing on Houston Texans fans' minds as of last night at about 4, when George Godsey, in a mutual parting of the ways, so they say, otherwise, he was the sacrificial lamb. And my question before the break leading in was, where do we go from here? I threw out Norv Turner's name as a guy that is a legitimate quarterback whisperer, no matter who you talk to in NFL circles. And look, for the most part, when we talked to NFL people over the last month, they said that both Bill O'Brien and George Godsey are of the highest regard in terms of NFL circles. But that doesn't mean that they are the right fit here, for the personnel, for the organization, for everything. So we're moving on. So it behooves me to ask the question again, where do we go from here? Who would you like to see?
Well, there were some names that are out there that are floating about. Mike McCoy, now that he's relieved of his duties in San Diego.
Isn't he going back to Denver?
Is he?
I heard he was going back to Denver to be with there you go. Vance
so,
Joseph.
But he is one of the guys on the list that people would look for. Greg Olsen would be a name. Now, he got, you know, he got booted out of Jacksonville, so he couldn't even make Blake Bortles decent. So I don't know why you would think he could turn Brock Osweiler
around. God can turn that one around.
Yeah.
Just like Brock.
And a few of the other names, Tom Clements, Brad Childress, and one name that I found interesting that I saw pop up was Chip Kelly, which might make some sense, actually. Although
he's supposedly interviewing in Jacksonville already.
But I feel like Chip Kelly is, if he's going to do anything, it would be back to college. Well,
but first of all, let's face it.
But that's the list that I've seen.
Chip Kelly, you talk about people are going to look at the situation and go, Chip Kelly, who wants to play fast, who wants to go hyper-fast offensively, and want to really go up-tempo, and you want a giraffe quarterbacking your offense?
Yeah.
Probably well, not.
The thing and that was something I was going to mention last segment, that when you're looking for a coordinator for this team, I know everyone, you know, because you had mentioned last segment, you want someone that's going to open it up and this, that, and the other. And I'm not so sure that that's how this team is built right now. I mean, given the current quarterback scenario that you have, or the situation that you have, and the fact that you might be 2 or 3 years from developing a rookie quarterback that you draft this year or next year.
Right.
It might make sense to go out and find an OC who is conservative, run-oriented, and plays a more bland but effective style of football than a guy that's going to come out and try to open it up with guys that can't open it up because they don't have the skill set. Either they're just deficient in those skills like Brock Osweiler, or they don't have them yet like a Tom Savage or guys that are, you know, well, Savage maybe.
Or get a guy versatile enough that for 1 year can do that, and then after he gets out the door can open it back up or do something that's a little bit more scoring friendly.
Yeah, because everyone bitched about how bland Gary Kubiak's offense was here in town. But I tell you what, that zone blocking is effective in the run game. And I think Lamar Miller in a zone blocking scheme would look pretty good. And I think if nothing else, at least you put Brock Osweiler in a position to be able to run a few bootlegs. You know, and the way that offense was is it was three levels of tight end, wide receivers, and yeah.
But bootlegs and Brock Osweiler go together like but
he couldn't be any more inaccurate. In fact, I think he threw a couple of all right balls on the run as opposed to what he was doing in the pocket.
But that was last game. Remember how many times on the run where I said his elbow dropped, the ball floated?
Well, I don't know anything about elbows and all that. I don't like, but I'm just saying, like, it would make more sense to be run oriented. And run
for the
heavy.
Next year. I agree with
and
that.
And I'm just using
because
those examples of that
more.
Offense.
Yeah, he'll get out of the scope a little bit more frequently if he doesn't have to, if he's not expected and counted on trying to sling it around. But you mentioned the Bills. The Bills right now are leaning towards either Brad Childress, the ex-Minnesota Vikings head coach, which was the co-offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
And believe it or not, there's that guy again, Greg Olsen. Even though he had to deal with Blake Bortles and it didn't work out so well, he's at the top of everybody's wish list. So now they said if they're thinking out of the box, Tampa Bay's quarterback coach, Mike Byakian, Carolina quarterback coach, Ken Dorsey, a former NFL and college football quarterback, New England tight end coach, Brian Daboll, Atlanta quarterback coach, Matt LaFleur, Miami quarterback coach, Bo Hardigree.
Now, what is this?
Those are potential candidates for the Bills and thinking out of the box if they don't go with either Brad Childress or Greg Olsen.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to give you the candidate that I was thinking of next. It makes too much sense, and it's also going to scare the bejeepers out of everybody in Houston.
Okay.
All right, so let's go with he's the 300-pound elephant in the room as clue number one.
All right.
All right. Clue number two, it would be bringing the band back together. Okay?
Okay.
You there yet?
No.
Clue number three, he could bring the luck of the Irish.
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
Clue number four.
This is probably right in front of my face, yes. And I just don't see
clue,
it.
Clue number four.
Uh-huh.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
No. I know Houston has a lot of restaurants.
Right. Clue number five.
No.
Charles in Charge.
Charles in Charge?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that part. I don't
Nick,
know how
you, this is probably all outdated for you. Okay,
yeah.
So you haven't got it yet. So let's think about this. Who's your defensive coordinator?
Romeo Crennel.
And he came from?
New England.
So did Bill O'Brien, right?
Yeah.
During the heyday of New England Patriots football, who was the offensive coordinator when Romeo Crennel was the defensive coordinator?
I don't remember.
Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss, the ex-head coach of Notre Dame, the ex-head coach of the Kansas City, I mean, of the University of Kansas football. Charlie Weiss is a guy that has been out of football now for a year or two, but he got all these job opportunities because he was the offensive coordinator of the Patriots when they were really on top of the world when they first got going.
Okay.
I feel like I completely failed you, Joel.
Yeah, okay. I did too.
But, I mean, it scares me to death because he's failed miserably in his last two jobs. But at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Bill Belichick tree had a branch that reached out to at least talk to Charlie Weiss.
I don't think it's a terrible idea.
No, it's not a bad idea.
It's scared to me to death, to be honest with you.
But how do you think he would react being under O'Brien for a change? Do you think that would affect him in any way?
And I can't, you know, I don't know their relationship, and I don't know.
Is that what candidates are looking at? They're looking at O'Brien, and they're like, I don't know, man.
No, I'm just saying, you've got to have a guy, because O'Brien, like, you got to have a guy like Romeo Crennel, because, you know, O'Brien is an offensive guy, he just leaves Crennel alone. I have a feeling, like, with Gotsi, it was a little easier because they're boys. They were friends. He could pull him in a room and go, listen, we got to do this. We're doing this. I want it done this way. And I get that he's the head coach. But I think some of these guys that you're bringing in that are former head coaches, they're not going to want to be, you know, I don't know how that would work. I don't know that dynamic.
See, but here's
O'Brien doesn't seem like an easy guy to work
but
for,
Barry,
is what I'm trying
to say.
Yeah,
there's a dynamic that we're not even clear on. Mm-hmm. Because it seems more cloudy than ever what the actual dynamic is between Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith and control and the hierarchy.
Yeah.
So that even muddles it up even further. Like, do I have to be Rick's guy? Do I have to be Bill's guy? Do I have to be both guy? Who's going to be doing the hiring and who's actually going to pull the trigger on it? Because you may not even know that. And you might get a call from Rick Smith and never hear from Bill O'Brien or vice versa. So we don't even know who's pulling the trigger. That's what, again, it's got to make a lot of this muddled up stuff has got to make a lot more sense and become real clear real quick, because I think that's something they got to clear up in-house very quickly before they do anything, because it just seems like it's all out of whack over there on Kirby right now.
Yeah, you're saying as far as who's pulling the trigger.
The pecking order, and, you know, again, we heard the back and forth was Brock. Brock was never O'Brien's guy. Brock, yeah. All these different things back and forth.
I don't think we're ever going to know the truth of that until.
So, but at the same time, now we're at a decision-making process where we don't know who's making the decision.
Yeah, well, from a staff perspective, it's going to be O'Brien. O'Brien's going to hire his guy.
Okay.
I guarantee if you, I'm Rick, O'Brien, I that's the last straw if you don't let me pick
exactly.
my OC.
And
you
that's
made,
where I was going
You made
too.
Me fire my friend.
Now, he was adamant
he
at his press conference
anyway.
Yesterday. I am back next year coaching this football team.
Yeah.
But he's got to take into consideration. He still hasn't ironed out everything with Rick Smith. They got a lot of splaining to do to each other to try and figure it out so that they can get along and coexist next year.
But it is a credit to the Texans players, because if you really think about it, if the higher-ups are split, a lot of times the locker room is split. But I feel like they did a fairly good job of not letting it get to them entirely, because for the most part, I feel like the locker room is together. But I think that's an interesting dynamic to have, like, a higher-up, because it's not a secret, Rick Smith and Bill O'Brien. So,
well, according to you guys, and I learned something, you know, I thought that this was kind of been kept under wraps, and Barry, you were the one that started it, that said, look, this has been no secret for a while now. I was a little surprised by that. I thought that they were peacefully coexisting more than they actually were. So if there's truth to that, then
no, again, there was rifts when they cut Ryan Mallett. There was a beef over how that should have been handled or how it was handled. So it goes back all the way to then and probably before if it happened.
And
then.
That behooves me even more to say. So if it goes that far back, how do we go forward? Because we got to go forward, and they've now got to make a decision together or understand who's going to pull the trigger and make that decision. And I don't think there's that clear understanding yet. So they got a lot to work on over there on Kirby before they even get to personnel matters. They got to figure this out first because, oh, by the way, some of the guys that you're looking at that you think might be ideal fits are being snapped up every single day as these six jobs that in which five have been filled start filling out their coaching staffs. So they've got to act rather quickly on this and be kind of fleet of foot. They got to get it done quickly and start getting some candidates in here because some of the good ones are getting taken as we speak. So it's going to be interesting to see. Who do you want? Clarence, I see you holding. We're going to get to you in a minute. Also, if you want to get in like Clarence and talk about this and give me your candidate who might be the best fit as offensive coordinator for your Houston Texans, give us a call. 713-780-ESPN, where you can text us or call us or hit us up on Twitter. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, we're back. Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. Clarence is waiting patiently. We're going to get to him, and then we're going to get to this crazy Antonio Brown story that's been going around, because now the parties that be have chimed in on the entire event. But before we do that, one of our loyals, who's probably still in the black and white checkered pants, my man Clarence, calling in to talk about getting clearance for his Houston Texans. Clarence, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Everything's good. First, I wanted to talk about, you know, the scapegoat. Last time I checked, who was calling the plays doing most of the offense season?
Oh, that would be, if you go and check back on your historic timeline, Clarence, that was taken over by Bill O'Brien about 6 weeks in. So Bill O'Brien became the offensive coordinator again as he was calling plays. He took play calling away from Godsey.
So we're going to find an offensive coordinator for 6 weeks of work, because last time I checked, for 10 weeks, Bill O'Brien was calling all those plays for Brock Osweiler. And I know where, you know what I'm saying, for another season, you're stuck with him. But this is what needs to happen. We need to take the best of what Brock Osweiler is good at, which is a short ball and a long ball. He's not very good at intermediate because he's a little too slow on the trigger with that. Take those two things, work on them, and work on his reads, beef up the offensive line, and just play straight old-school smash-mouth football. Just keep it simple. Run, pass if you have to. Just pick up three yards, first down, and just methodically work your way down the field. Keep your defense fresh, because the defense is going to keep you in games. Even against the great Tom Brady into the third quarter, they had you right in that game. So, I mean, just take Brock Osweiler, go over and rock it for him, you know, take him up to the mountain somewhere, train him on those two things, and I think we'll be fine. In the draft, beef up the offensive line, get a power running back, and just do those things. And I think we can
if we took your delivery on this call, Brock's legs and delivery with the quarterback, and O'Brien's tendency to not make any kind of speedy decisions, we'd be walking in slow motion backwards. But you paid so much money for Lamar Miller, there's no way that you're going to go get a pounding LeGarrette Blount-type running back, because he's your guy. So, I mean, look, I appreciate the call, and we love having you on. It's just, I just think, I know everybody's feeling that they're stuck with, I gave you an option. You're stuck with Brock Osweiler. However, if a guy like Jay Cutler is willing for 1 year to say, I can compete for a starting job, I'll take a little less, and if I prove that I win the job and I actually play halfway decent, I might get another big contract.
Why would he do that?
Because there's not many jobs around the league.
Dude, this league is deficient at that position. Guys that are above average don't need to go and try to win a job at an organization.
Where else is he going to go where he's going to get a chance to start? Jay Cutler.
I don't know, but you don't have to come. A guy like that doesn't have to come play backup to Brock Osweiler to try to win a position.
What I'm saying is he's not. Well, basically, the writing's already on the wall. If they have another option, I don't think it's. I think this is more 50-50. It might even be 60-40 for the guy coming in if he's worth it. So I think Cutler can look at this and say, I don't have to go somewhere and play backup and take backup money. I can get a decent deal, probably 7, maybe the middle go 7 or 8, because they already know, look, over on Kirby, they know the dire straits that they're in for another season. And I think that this gives you a viable option for 1 year, and it gives you the shall we say, the open-minded anticipation that if he would able to be grabbing the bulls and running with it, and it actually has some traction, that he could work this into this being his next contract or a good contract, with a multi-year deal, and he'd be the starter.
That's just not. It's not happening.
Because we've already highlighted how impossible it looks.
To do anything but take Rock next year.
This is one thing that gives you an option.
Yeah, but why would Cutler do that? Why would he do that?
There's nowhere else he can go in this league right now, or very few options. I'm not going to say nowhere, but I don't know that anybody's going to give him a starting
Cleveland.
Job.
He could go to Cleveland. There's a ton of places that need a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback.
Now, Denver's an option.
Jacksonville.
Here's the thing.
I mean, there's tons of places that are deficient at that position.
He burnt the bridge. So he can't go back. He might not be able to go back to Denver. Hugh Jackson still wants a young guy. He's already done the retread thing with RG3. We all know how that worked out.
There's a big difference between RG3 and Cutler, though.
Well,
huge difference.
Well, you did get it right the first time, because next time he's playing to be RG free, because he's going to have to sign basically a free deal to try and get anybody's roster. But from a Jay Cutler perspective, look, you also don't want the crap beat out of you every day when you go behind center either and be on a really bad team.
The Niners need a quarterback. There's tons of places to go.
You want to talk about the most dysfunctional. There's a reason why they still don't have a GM, let alone a head coach.
No one wants to go there.
I think for money, they do.
Why would you take the league minimum
In a nutshell, Jay Cutler would be interested in the Houston job because everything but the quarterback position seems pretty solidified with a team that can win now.
The thing that is appealing about that job is that you think you could win now.
I'll take it a step. Okay, but that's the first step.
Do you look at that and go, you know what?
Let me finish. So here's what I'm saying. So you look at the only viable option where you can win now. You look at an option where you're not going there just to be one of the three. You're going there to compete for the number one job. And you got a legitimate shot to win it. And if you do, you're going to get a lot of exposure. You're going to get a ton of credit. You're going to get a lot to back the fact that, hey, this is a possible opportunity that you can turn into something long term. I think that's a lot to entice a Jay Cutler or a veteran quarterback.
So tell me again, how is he getting here? How are they getting Jay Cutler down here?
Well, if he's free, he can. The Bears already said they're not bringing him back.
Okay,
so he's free. He can walk.
So they're eating $14 million in dead money, and if you sign him, you've got to pick up some of that money. The Bears. It's $2 million in dead money. It's $14 million in cap savings. $2 million in dead money. I looked at them backwards.
Okay.
Yeah. So So the Bears are going to cut him. You're going to have to pick up some of that dead money. I'm pretty sure. So you're not whatever
Again,
you pay him.
It's not
going
to be easy, right? But
he's making $12 million. He's scheduled to make $12 million next year. What do you think you realistically could get him to sign?
The Bears
for?
Said they're going to cut him.
I know, but his contract over the next 4 years is 12, 13, 17, and 19
million.
Well,
once you cut him,
what do you think you would
that.
Get him? I know, but what do you think he would, quote, settle for?
I said it already. I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of 7, 7.5.
Okay, so you're going to pay. Let's just assume the scenario. You pay him $7.5 million.
Think about what you've paid Mallett and Hoyer. You paid Mallett and Hoyer $5 million.
You've got to eat some of the two, I believe, from them cutting him since you picked him up. So and the Texans have about $25 million in cap space in 2017 without signing a player. And you're talking about you need to bring back. We said Demps during the break that we should have mentioned.
Yep.
Is a guy they need to bring back. They've got to bring. You know, there's a ton of guys that need to be re-up that are priority. And I get you need to make a move at quarterback, but it's going to be tough, man.
Look, I'm just throwing scenarios out there to at least try and solve the never-ending riddle.
One of the things that somebody threw out on text, and it seems at first I wanted to be like, I don't think it would happen this way,
okay. But
it does raise an interesting question. Somebody said, what about J.J. Watt for Phillip Rivers or just trade J.J.? And that question comes up, and it's like...
Came up yesterday.
You know, it's not a bad thought.
I think it's just one of those things where you got to bring the business side of it, and there's just too many ticket sales and revenue to
be made.
Let
me tell you something right now. Let me tell you something right now, Nick. If these guys go out and win 11 games, they ain't losing any ticket sales. J.J. Watt be damned.
But
you go to any Texans game.
Doesn't matter.
No, go to the blogs.
Look what they did with Jondre Johnson.
When these rumors started, go to the blogs. When these rumors started, there are people that said they'd rather go down in flames but have J.J. Watt play his whole career in red, white, and blue, then see him go anywhere else. There's a lot of fans
on blogs.
And Andre
Johnson didn't make J.J. Watt money, though. That's like $100 million.
And those people that say that probably sit at home and watch TV and don't spend money on tickets.
You're probably right.
I mean, it does. The fact of the matter is if they traded J.J. Watt, or if they, you know, if they were able to move J.J. and get a legit quarterback and were to make a run to an AFC championship game, J.J. who? I guarantee
you.
You
know,
J.J.
Travis,
who?
Travis has given us updates yesterday that everybody he talks to over on Kirby says J.J. is going to be back like he once was. He looks phenomenal. He's working out, all this other things. But guess what? Clowney looked great. Merciless looked great. The defense played great. Number one is number one for a reason. So, is he expendable? I mean, that's what's being kicked around. That's what's out there. I don't know. I don't think that, again, just like McNair doesn't like confrontations and change, Sean, I don't think he's the guy that's going to send him on
Sean
his
way. And John made this point talking about J.J. Watt and what he means to this team. They went 2-14 with J.J. Watt, correct?
Yep.
They went 9-7 2 years in a row with J.J. Watt, correct?
Yep.
What did they do without J.J. Watt this year? 9-7. So tell me, in the 4 years that he's been here, 2-14 and 2 9-7s and a 9-7 that he wasn't a part of. So how much of an effect on his record, on their record, does
well,
he really
have?
Well,
it goes back to the adage of the fact that J.J. doesn't take the ball behind center. He doesn't throw it,
doesn't run
with it.
With or without him, they've gone 9-7 3 years in a row. How important is J.J. Watt to this franchise?
Again, the only argument I can bring is the revenue that he could potentially lose. Now, if he's a guy that's a total shell of himself.
First of all, Nick, this is football country, though. They're going to sell it out no matter
what. Exactly. And put it this way. Can we all agree that if this team had a viable, just a mid-level quarterback, just a run-of-the-mill, ranked 16th in the NFL quarterback, that they probably beat the Patriots?
No. I'm not going to say a mid-level.
You don't think so?
I don't think, no.
You don't think that with a guy that's just
be a little
viable,
bit better than average.
Just a game manager that doesn't commit three turnovers, they don't beat the Patriots?
I can't say that. I think they got to be a little bit better than average.
With a quarterback and without J.J. Watt, they beat the Patriots.
We'll see. And hey, guess what? On that other topic of whether you get rid of him or not, J.J.'s actually on hold. So we're going to get to him next. So if you want to hear straight from J.J., he'll be with us next. Don't go anywhere. This
You're
is
foolish.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. I promised you, JJ. I will deliver you, JJ. As the loyalist of loyal, I'll fight to the tooth and nail death for our show, JJ. Is not JJ Watt, but he is the guy that's going to be up next on the show. JJ, you want to have your take heard on your Houston Texans offense. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, JJ?
Man, every time I get ready to call in and I listen to you guys and you crack me up and then you get me going off on something else, you know, instead of the point I was going to make. But the first thing, I wish you hadn't have said which JJ it was. I was going to let the listeners think it was JJ Watt and I was going to go, hey, I'm just going to do a straight up trade. Romo's coming here and I'm going to Dallas.
You sound about as much like JJ Watt as Matthew McConaughey impersonators sound like Matthew McConaughey.
Well, you know. Obviously, I don't sound like him, but think about that one. And then, you know, Barry made a really great point when you're talking about trading JJ. I just want to throw this out there because I know this information. I have been on the Texans season ticket waiting list since I moved here because I'm an NFL fan.
Okay.
And this year, and I go to about 3 or 4 games a year, but you know, I got to pay a lot of money for tickets. And right now, I got moved up the highest I've been, and I'm number 27,895th on the list.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
That's right, man.
Holy
I'm
crap.
Telling you there's a chance. So, you know, regardless of, and no doubt what J.J. Watt means to this franchise as far as popularity, but Barry, I hadn't heard anybody put it that way. Those were good points, man. I mean, the record speaks for itself, and you hear it all the time. The guy who touches the ball on every play, the quarterback on offense, that's what matters. I got a stat for you guys.
Okay.
Alex Smith, where do you think he ranks in the NFL in all the statistical categories? You know, when they group them all together, where's he ranked out of the 32nd starting quarterbacks?
Dead middle.
I would say top 15.
No, he's 15th.
Well, and
there
that's
you go.
Almost a dead middle, but yeah.
Okay, now listen to this stat. For the last 2 years, the 9-7 Texans, and you look at all their ball games, because this year we only got our butts handed to us in Minnesota and New England as far as just getting beat on. So take Alex Smith's stats for the last 2 years, and I forget what website this, and I'll try to find it and tweet it to you guys. If you had Alex Smith's production on the Houston Texans team. Mm-hmm. They'd have gone 11-4 the last 2 years. Nice. I'm sorry, twelve and four.
And JJ, so here's the thing. I don't disagree with that, and I've said all along they need a game manager. But to Barry's question, which was would they have beat the Patriots, I don't think so. I still don't think so. I think it would have taken just a little bit more than that, with a little bit more ability to propensity to move the ball up and down the field and do some things. But I understand his point clearly that you eliminate the three turnovers in itself and you're probably in that game.
Hey, Joel, don't forget in that game, they run the kickoff back. That makes it 14-3, right?
It was a one-point game at the half. I was shocked, but I know it. But it finished an 18-point game.
Fuller dropping the touchdown and made it 20-19. You know, they were a couple plays away from that being a good ball game. Obviously, they didn't make the plays, so it ended up what it was. But the one other thing I wanted to talk about, too, I heard your story yesterday mm-hmm. about going to the Green Bay game. You know, mm-hmm. I was tweeting you, I thought you got to go to that game.
Right.
And I wish I'd have known. I have flown Dallas Southwest probably, I don't know, maybe 50 times in the last 2 years on my job. Uh-huh. And I would say over half the time, I either miss the flight, don't make it late. That's the worst flight in Houston is Dallas.
Yeah, thanks for that input, JJ. That helps me now. And here's the thing. I actually just felt that way. And I can't say to my buddy, I told you so, because it was just such an unbelievable day. But, at the same time, I told him. And I had a bad feeling. But look, at the end of the day, I'll take the win over everything. And now I got a chance Amen. To hopefully have him in the backyard in a couple weeks. But here's the thing, JJ, too. You scare me on a couple of points. And I just want to make this clear to the listeners. When you say that we get you go off. When we get you off. Based on the porn stars that you were bringing up for sideline reporters, I just got to be careful how you use that terminology because I worry about you as much as the drivers on the road and other things.
Yes, I know this is true, but yes. It's all good. It's
okay, not the same. I worry about that because we love you and we need you around. We need you to know that.
Okay? Well, hey, like I said all the time, you guys keep H-Town real. Nick is always rocking good music. Best show on the lineup. Love you guys. I'm going to go and listen to you some more, but keep it rolling.
Two hands on the wheel, JJ. Two hands on the wheel, but we love you. You know that.
Thanks for the call, JJ.
All right, Hector's got one that we kind of kicked around in the break, Barry. And you mentioned one. So there's two out there. If you're willing to do the JJ Watt trade option, Hector has a suggestion, and we have another one to follow up. Go, Hector, what's up?
What's up, Hector?
You're talking about J.J. Watt and, what he's done in the 9-7 with J.J. Watt in there. That guy made a good point. And the only team that needs a really good defense right now to where they can trade a quarterback to come to the Texans who will start is at the Dallas Cowboys.
There's two, but we'll give
Romo
you one.
Tony Romo will not come. Is not going to move unless he starts. And the Dallas Cowboys do need a defense because you can see as they played Aaron Rodgers, they didn't get to him too many times.
They didn't win that game?
No. They didn't win the game.
Oh, okay. I was under a rock. I didn't know who came out on top on that one.
No. I'm not there, but Dallas is
No, I understand. Look, because I talked about this yesterday. They're already talking about the fact that because Romo is to the Jones family what Rick Smith is to the McNair family. So they've basically said they're going to be in constant communication to try and find Tony a new home. They realize from a financial perspective they would love to find him a spot and a landing spot, but they're going to only find him a spot that he wants to go to. They said Denver's at the top of the list. Someone did throw the Texans out there in terms of a possibility. They're throwing some different names. They said he'd want to win. He'd want to have a say-so in where he goes. So there's some variables. The other variable, quite honestly, Hector, and thanks for the call, is the one that Barry brought up prior to the break. Phillip Rivers, because some people are saying he does not want to move to L.A. It's too fast-paced, big city, not his feel, not his game. He loves San Diego, but he's a Southern boy. He's a country boy that he would probably consider Houston, Texas, especially, again, because of the variables around of all the weapons that he would have. Would you do that? Because on the flip side, think about this. J.J. Watt reunited with his brother. Gets to play with his brother in San Diego, who's the fullback for the San Diego Chargers. That's enticing. A defense
well,
in which...
and being in L.A. for J.J.
Again,
would be
well,
hugely enticing.
That was going to finish. I was going to say.
Oh, my bad.
The marketing capabilities blow through the roof for a J.J. Watt in Hollywood in Los Angeles.
You think you're sick of him now?
Yeah, exactly.
Holy
and
crap.
Then here's the other thing. And you at least get to go to a defense where Joey Bosa is a beast on the defensive line, and their secondary is better than average, where you could say, oh, and by the way, his old teammate is the starting tailback as well in Melvin Gordon. there's a lot of enticing things about that Chargers situation for J.J. Watt, too. But would you do it? Are you willing to sacrifice your front man, the man that represents the Houston Texans, if it means getting a quarterback of the caliber of Tony Romo or Philip Rivers? And John Granato chimes in again. Why are you listening? You're listening to us. He said that Godsey was only the offensive coordinator for the first 2 to 3 weeks. That's when O'Brien took over. So, Oh, no, wait a minute. He said O'Brien only called plays for 2 games. Yeah. Took it over after the Pats game.
And then gave it up again. Yeah,
he did a couple. Okay, yeah. So,
Here's the thing about all this trade talk. It's got to make sense for both sides. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I want to go out and get a 36-year-old Tony Romo and give up J.J. Watt. I'd rather get a couple of first-round picks. That's just me, though. That's just me. You got to think long-term, man. If you think short-term, you're trading J.J. Watt for essentially a dude that you don't even know if can stay healthy.
But here's the
other
thing you got to consider,
that makes
too.
No sense.
If you say you would even consider making one of those two moves, you damn well better enhance the hell out of that offensive line.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to make sure they're upright.
Well, I think they will go offensive line first round this year.
I don't disagree that they're gonna try and do whatever they can to bolster the.
But Rivers is 35. Romo is 36. How old is Cutler? Cutler's mid 30s, right?
I would say early 30s probably.
Yeah,
is my guess.
He's 33. So of the three, at least he's the youngest. It's got to make sense, man.
All right. Well, we've got more to talk about. Would you trade J.J. Watt? And it looks like, Nick, you want to talk about it, so we're going to get to you in just a second. Hang on. If you want to talk about it, 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.